Yep.
Yeah.
Now it's really time to go. Hello, everybody. I'm Kimberly Adams. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. It is Friday, January the 12th. Kai is out today, but joining me for our very first Economics on Tap of the year is the one, the only, the wonderful Amy Scott. Hey, Amy.
Thank you, Kimberly. Happy New Year to you and to everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy Friday on top of it. Thanks for joining us on the podcast and on the YouTube live stream. It is Friday, and of course, that means it's time for our weekly happy hour episode.
Yes, we're going to get to some news. We're going to take a break. We're going to play a couple of rounds of half full, half empty. And don't forget, those of you joining in the YouTube live stream chat, we'll look to your votes and hear what you have to say on our own individual perspectives on the fullness or the halfness of things. Anywho, before we get into it, the middleness or the meh-ness, we're going to look at what everybody's drinking. Amy, start with you. What are you having?
Okay, so I'm usually a couple years behind on everything. So I have recently discovered orange wine, thanks to my colleagues in Los Angeles. For those who aren't familiar, it's also called skin contact wine, and it's basically white wine that's fermented with the skins, kind of like red wine is, but it gives some nice orange color to a white wine, and I find it quite refreshing. So cheers. How about you?
And you drink it cold? Or cool, mm-hmm. I should say.
The bottle says lightly chilled, but I'm imprecise.
Refrigerator.
I just stuck it in the fridge. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, for me, it's like it's either in the fridge or not. Like
exactly.
The nuances of the temperature.
We have one temperature in there. But it's
when
nice.
I went home
it's probably
for Thanksgiving,
more of a summer thing, but what the heck? It's freezing out and I'm drinking it.
My cousin tried to shame me for not having my red wine at the right temperature. Because apparently red wine is supposed to be served ever so slightly chilled. And because I saw him put it in the fridge and I was like, what are you doing? Or maybe he put it in the freezer or something. I was like, what are you doing? It's red wine. And he was like, no, it has to be at such and such temperature and blah, blah, blah. I was like, whatever. Can't
I would forget about it and days later find it frozen in the freezer. So
yeah,
I'm going simple. So what are you drinking?
Well, not simple, not at all. I'm having a mocktail for, hey, shout out to all those celebrating Dry January. I am not this year, but definitely supporting everybody in that realm. So I'm having a mocktail today. It is, let's see, I made some rosemary simple syrup with some rosemary that somehow is still surviving in my patio garden. I've
got
blueberry rosemary shrub. And then some non-alcoholic bourbon and blueberry soda that I got the other day. And all mixed together. And it's purple. And it kind of matches my shirt, I just realized. And it's delicious. I got my little rosemary sprig as a garnish. Yeah.
Mm. How is the NA bourbon? Does it taste like bourbon? Ooh, I got to try that.
I wouldn't say it tastes like bourbon, but it does what bourbon needs to do in the drink. And it doesn't taste bad. That's
sort
of how I feel about a lot of the non-alcoholic spirits, is that they don't taste like their replacements, but they do what they need to do to make the drink tasty. If that
That's kind of how I feel
sense.
About meat substitutes as well. Yeah, they don't need to taste like meat, but they have to do something similar. So I like that.
Exactly.
What's
All right, let's look at what everybody
drinking?
Else is drinking.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got Carol is drinking a lemon zinger with a little something something. Sarah Schlosser, water still working. Let's see. Martin, a Johnny Rocket vanilla shake. Okay. And Debbie wants to know why I have no ice cubes. And that's because the ice cubes in the office fridge smelled funny. To be honest, and I didn't want to go there.
we're transparent here.
We're transparent.
I would not use the office ice either.
Yeah, it smelled a little funny. Chuck Kleinecht has Joseph Magnus bourbon aged in sherry casks. Funny about Joseph Magnus Brewing Company, which they had a location here in D.C. that shut down. I didn't even know you could still get their bourbons. Like, I have one bottle left over from, like, when I got it from the distillery in D.C. I'll have to get to your source, Chuck. Let's see. Daniel has a vodka tonic. And Lauren France has homemade Vind Orange fortified wine. Nice. And Kay Gilbert
has... wine? Homemade?
Yeah, fortified, impressive, though. And then Kay Gilbert has Tej Ethiopian honey wine with cookies. Love it. So thank you, everyone, bringing their top drink game for the beginning of the year. Let's get to the news. Amy, what you got?
Okay, well, I mean, with the caveat that here I am drinking a glass of alcohol, I picked a couple stories about drugs and, like, why not to do them. So I understand the irony, but I'm going forward.
Everybody picks their poison.
So, yeah, these are two stories I saw this week, and they're kind of connected. One from the New York Times about these products that you may have heard of. They're known as gas station heroin. Basically, you can buy these little bottles with names like Neptune's Fix and Tiana and Zaza. I don't know if I'm pronouncing them right, but they contain an ingredient called tianeptine, which I've also heard pronounced tianeptine. But it it acts a little bit like an opioid in its effect on the brain. Some people who are trying to quit opioids have even turned to these because you can just buy them over the counter at the gas station, right? It's approved in some countries as an antidepressant, but not in the U.S., and experts say it can be very addictive and potentially quite harmful, especially in large quantities. And because they're marketed as a dietary supplement, they're basically unregulated here. The FDA can say, you know, don't market this as a medicine, but they're not doing anything to make sure the ingredients are safe or effective, though it has issued warnings about the dangers. And at least nine states have banned or restricted tianeptine. But the Times tells the story of one guy who was basically poisoned by this stuff. It's really... a dramatic story. And they're sold in, you know, flavors like Neptune's Fix comes in lemon, tropical, chocolate, vanilla. I mean, it's like, you know, a candy basically you're buying and can potentially give you the kinds of effects that you might have if you go off heroin and experience severe withdrawal. So that's one story. And then the other one I saw today, I think it may have come out yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, about marijuana and how teens who are using it are experiencing psychosis at higher levels. And it's an interesting and complicated story. But basically, the thinking is that as more states have legalized cannabis and it's more widely available, it's also become a lot more potent than it used to be. With higher levels of THC, which can cause paranoia and hallucinations. And when young people use it a lot, there has been a link shown between early and frequent use of cannabis and the onset of psychotic disorders like schizophrenia. So this definitely made me want to talk to my kids. I think, you know, there's this impression that because so many states have legalized recreational use, it's kind of like the gas station heroin, right? Like, if I can buy it at the store... isn't it safe? But that's not always the case. So,
well, I mean, it's a similar conversation to alcohol, right? If you start drinking alcohol at an early age, you're more likely to have a substance use disorder later on in life. For the mental health show that we also do at APM, Call to Mind, we did a show on substance use disorder. And that was one of the things that they were saying. The experts were saying that the earlier you start heavy drinking, the more likely you are to start a substance use to develop a substance use disorder later on in life. And alcohol in moderation, you know, people function and you can be fine, but in the extremes, it can really harm you and harm your brain and harm your body in all sorts of ways. And I guess that's a similar conversation. It's legal, but it can be extraordinarily harmful if you're not careful.
Yeah. And I was thinking also because, you know, the federal government still criminalizes marijuana possession. If it were more regulated, would it be, you know, would it be safer? Would we maybe crack down on these high THC levels, which are seem to be the issue that causes paranoia and hallucinations? And again, you know, the story is clear that there hasn't been a proven direct cause of smoking pot and getting schizophrenia. but there's a high association. So definitely worth more study.
Okay. Well, Jason Perringer says in the chat that I'd better have a story about happy puppy adoptions after this. So I'm going to switch up my news item.
Sorry, Jason. This happens when you have me on the
instead,
show.
Talk about this wonderful story that I saw in the Washington Post about an NBA player where he and his wife were like in a parking lot of a fast food restaurant and they saw this dog wandering around and she opens the door and the dog like just jumps in the car and got in her lap. And then they spent the next 10 hours searching for the owner, and the dog had been lost for like 4 years and they were able to reunite the dog with the owner. It was a Utah Jazz forward center, Kelly Olynyk, and his wife, Jackie. And this was on Christmas Day. And they spent 10 hours on Christmas Day tracking down the owner of this lost dog. And it's
oh, I bet they were so
very
happy.
Yeah, the owner,
there's
I think,
a happy
had, like,
puppy story.
Given
How did you pull that
on...
out? It wasn't even on the rundown.
It wasn't, but like...
You had one at the ready.
I had one in my back pocket. I had a happy puppy story in my back pocket.
You've got to keep a happy puppy story in your back pocket. That's
yes,
the lesson
yes.
today.
Yes. I mean, also the Supreme Court is getting ready to review whether or not, you know, banning homeless encampments might be, you know, against the Constitution. But we can talk about that another day. Let's end on the happy puppy story as per instructions from the YouTube chat.
We aim to please, listeners.
We aim to please. That is it for the news. We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to play a round of half full and half empty. We will be right back. All right, so welcome back. It is now time to play our wonderful game, Half Full, Half Empty, hosted by our also wonderful Drew Jostad. Take it away, Drew.
Yay, Drew.
Are you half full or half empty on Mickey Mouse entering the public domain?
Ooh.
Do you know this story,
Amy? I would say I'm half full. Yeah, a bunch of old characters are in the public domain as of this year. Winnie the Pooh, and I'm trying to remember who else.
Well, Winnie the Pooh was already in the public domain along with Piglet, but the book from A.A. Milne that includes the character of Tigger is now in the public domain.
It's Tigger.
So,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
and
I've
so
seen the argument that, like, they can be used for all sorts of things that we may not want, like unsavory capitalistic kinds of things, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
since Mickey Mouse has nothing to do with capitalism at all.
Yeah. Good point. But I'm half full. I'd like to see innovation with Mickey.
Yes, I'm half full. I like the fact that, you know, we actually have a system where things go into the public domain and become more accessible. And sure, there's downsides to it, but and there can see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. But
yes, that's what I read about. Yes.
Oh, right. Robert Anstead points out, like, the Little Mermaid. So in the original story, the Little Mermaid dies at the end. Sorry, spoiler alert. But the Little Mermaid that we all know and love does not usually die at the end of the movie. So, yes, let's embrace alternative endings. So, yes. What's next, Drew?
Half full or half empty on writing paper checks.
Oh, what's the story?
This was a story that Janet did for the website. It was an I've always wondered about why we still use them, why a lot of times if you're going to doctor's offices or paying a contractor, they insist on a paper check, even though they're maybe more vulnerable to fraud. And we have things like Apple Pay.
Go ahead, Kimberly.
I still use paper checks on occasion. But generally when I am like physically handing someone the payment, not when I'm mailing something or sending money any kind of distance, but I don't mind, you know, a check. And as people point out in the chat, you know, for small business owners, it saves you the fees. You know, if you're doing a Venmo or Apple Pay or a PayPal or whatever, or even a regular credit card transaction, you have to pay fees, and that stuff adds up for a small business. So yeah, I'm half full on paper checks. I like it. It reminds me every so often of how terrible my handwriting is to see me attempt to scrawl my signature at the bottom of a check.
Oh, I remember practicing over and over for when I got my first checking account so that I could sign my checks. Yeah, I mean, there's something lovely about the physical act of writing something, and kind of feels more meaningful when you're spending money than just pushing a button and saying bye-bye to all that money. Yeah, I mean, I find it a little bit of a pain to carry it around, but yeah, I'd say
I'm
half
full. Carry it around. I keep it at home. If I need to be expecting to write a check.
Right,
it's not
absolutely
a casual thing that happens out in the
wilderness.
Went
to an old-fashioned store here in Baltimore that still accepts checks, but they also use that little, like, sliding copier receipt thing for credit cards.
Wow.
It's very satisfying to see that happen. So, you know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wow. That makes me feel old. Next!
Okay. Since it opened in May 2022, ABBA's 3D Avatar-based concert series Voyage has apparently contributed $400 million to London's economy. Are you half full or half empty on seeing ABBA as, like, video game characters?
Ooh, so, I'm half full. I love ABBA.
I am going to say half empty, but for an unexpected reason. Right before the major lockdowns of the pandemic, my mother wanted to go on a disco cruise, and people know how I feel about cruises, anybody who's listened to this podcast, but my sister and I went with my mother on a disco cruise, and there was an ABBA tribute band, and they were so good. Like, they looked like the characters, they sang like the characters, and they were amazing, and I would rather have that experience than a virtual experience with fake ABBA.
Wow, I never even thought of that. Is this depriving economic opportunity from cover bands? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
oh my gosh.
I'm going to London
I'm
for spring break
all the ABBA
with my
jokes.
Kids, and I want to look it up. I hope it's still running.
You're missing all the ABBA jokes in the chat.
Oh, please tell me.
Asking,
please tell me.
You know, if you change your mind.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Listen, Mamma Mia. Okay, that's too much. All right. Which do we have another one before the poll, Drew?
Yeah, I got two left.
Okay, let's do it.
Half full or half empty on surge pricing at restaurants?
Ooh, that's interesting. Half empty. Yes. I see
thinking.
You formulating
I'm
a thought.
Thinking.
I guess saying the phrase surge pricing implies that the price is only going to go up. But I think the story
it
was
does.
More about it going up or down depending on demand and things like that.
Like it's slow times. Maybe you get a break.
Yeah. This was a story
still
Sabri
half empty.
Did this week.
Oh, I missed that
one. I'm gonna say half full because it's supply and demand, and it's kind of interesting that it hasn't applied to the restaurant. I mean, if you think about it, if you go to the theater, because we were just talking about a show, if you want to go see the evening show, it costs different than a matinee, right? It's more expensive to go in the evening than to go to the afternoon show because one is in higher demand than the other. And if you consider a restaurant has the finite number of tables and spaces, you know, then it makes sense that at the high demand times that you might charge more. And, I mean, in my idealistic interpretation of this, maybe that would then lower the prices at other time to make dining more accessible for people who might not be able to, you know, pay the higher rates that they would might otherwise have if it was consistent pricing. But I don't know. I'm half full on anything that gives restaurant workers a livable wage. So there it is.
Well, I wonder if it does, though. Like, it makes me wonder if the if you're working the slow shift, if you kind of get stiffed because, you know, your tips are based on the check. So if the check is smaller, is the tip smaller? I don't know. And I'm just thinking, like, they're kind of like meal times, right? It's, you know, most people eat within a certain window of time. And so am I going to be having to eat dinner at 4 o'clock to get the deal? I don't know. I need to study this more.
Yes, we should go out and eat and test theories.
Yeah, try some of this.
Yes.
For research.
For research.
It's for research.
For science.
Indeed.
All right.
Last one. We got the poll.
All right, everybody in the live chat, if you are able, please participate. And while you are in the clicking mood, please feel free to hit that like button as well. Hearts, thumbs up,
yeah.
All the things. All right, go for it, Drew.
Half full or half empty on these Stanley cups.
Can't wait for this.
Oh, go ahead. You seem to have big feelings.
BRB, I'll go get it.
We have to. Oh, you're going to. Yeah, go get it while we're vamp. Oh, we got to see what color you have. Oh, my goodness. And now we get to look at Amy's cool freedom of speech poster.
I hadn't seen this video before where somebody's like car caught on fire.
I saw that. And there was still ice in the Stanley Cup.
And the Stanley Cup is still intact.
And it had ice still in it. She's like shaking it and there's still ice. Now, Amy has her. What is this color, Amy? Oh, you can't hear me because you don't have headphones on.
You mean
what color? What is this
Stanley
color?
Cup? It's
what
so
is this
cute.
Color?
It's bigger than my head. I think this is the new lavender, maybe. I'm not sure.
Is this like one of the exclusive ones that people were fighting for?
So my brother got this for my 9-year-old for Christmas. My 9-year-old whose wrists are like this big around.
$40 cup
well,
for... Okay.
He's a good uncle, let's just say that. But she can barely lift the thing because she's so tiny. I mean, it's enormous. And then, yeah, I've been, of course, hearing about how coveted this thing is. And we didn't know how special we were because she's a little young to be in the know about that. So, yeah, I'll tell her how special she is. But
her mom is now since you've adopted it.
It's so big. I mean, honestly, like I like water as much as the next guy, but this is too much. I can't even fit it on my little platform here.
Does it fit in your car cup holder, though?
Apparently it does, yeah. But again, she's 9. She doesn't have a cup holder. She's in the back seat.
All right, we've got 132 votes. Final call for anybody who wants to weigh in on whether you are half full or half empty on the craze around the Stanley Cups. All right, let's close the poll and hear your story, Amy. I'm guessing you're half full on this.
Is my brother listening? Hi, Ben. I'm going to say I'm half empty because they are so expensive. And it does. I've heard some of my friends with older kids, their kids have been like begging for this thing. And I'm always a little, I don't know, maybe I'm not much of a joiner. But hey, if it's good for the company, I mean, isn't Stanley known for like tools and stuff? It's kind of amazing that they're having this
gear and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that they're having this renaissance. Although our dear former colleague Scott Tong did an interview about this, I think it was yesterday on Here and Now. And apparently they've kind of abandoned their male demographic in favor of really targeting women, which I think is interesting. Like, can't you have, you know, can't you reach both? How about you?
I'm half full because from what I understand, it is a well-made product, encouraging people to drink
very heavy.
More water and or whatever they put into it. And if this actually means that people keep it and use it for years and years in the actual life cycle of the product, and it's something that's well-made and sustainable, yes, all for it. However, you know, when I saw this happen, I'm like, oh, that's a cool cup. I could totally use that. And then I looked in my cabinet and I saw the many water bottles that I already have from like conferences and things that are very, very nice. So I don't love the just like mass consumption part of it. But with the optimistic view that people are going to buy them, use them, keep them and cherish them for years and years, and they won't all end up in landfills half full. Yes. Let's say that.
That is very optimistic.
And there's not going to be some new trendy water bottle that replaces them.
In 5 minutes. I know, right? No, and suddenly kids are like, oh, that's so last year, Mom.
From what I understand, the Gen Zers and the Gen Alphas are way more sustainable than the rest of us. So I have faith in them.
That's a good point.
I have faith in the youths.
In the kiddos. In the youths. I just hope no one's getting teased at school because they have a hydro flask.
Oh, God. There's always going to be something to get, you know, kids teased at school. Yeah.
Yeah.
People are saying this stinks of product placement. I don't have one. We're just talking about this is just what I read about it. People in the chat are saying we're advertising for it. I don't have one.
I'm sorry.
I never had.
Yeah. Okay. Forget you ever saw it. I feel like there were some major caveats in my presentation of the Stanley Cup.
I think we're done talking about it. All right. That's it for the game. Oh, we didn't give the outcome of the poll.
Wait,
hold on.
Yeah, what was the answer on the poll?
All right. Half empty, 65%. Half full, 34%, with 142 votes.
Oh,
thank
that's
you
good
to all who participated. All right, that is it for today. Kai and I will be back on Tuesday. Obviously, we're going to be off on Monday from the show. In the meantime, if you have a question or a comment that you would like to share with us, leave us a voicemail at 508-UB-SMART, or you can email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org. See, unlike Kai, you dance with me to the music. I appreciate
I love
you
dancing. How can you not? Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Today's episode was engineered by Jake Cherry. Thanks, Jake.
Yes, thanks, Jake. The team behind our Friday game is Emily McCune and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is our director of podcasts. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on demand. And have a great weekend, everybody.
Yeah, happy and Martin Luther King Day.
Yes. Go out and do some service. I have a story coming up on certain types of volunteering. You should listen on Monday for it.
I will.